All right, ladies, welcome to the call. This is, I believe, week 6 of Self-Care Before Sit-Ups transformational course, and we are going to be going over the intuitive eating section, breaking away from diet thinking, and continuing to progress forward with all the different things we've been working on over the last 6 weeks. So what I want to discuss right away in the beginning is everyone's successes or breakthroughs or obstacles they're coming up with, because this is kind of week 6 where, you know, we still might be in the honeymoon phase, but what I call, but we might be running through some roadblocks. So who would like to start?
I can start, Stacey.
Okay, Stacey, what do you got?
I thought to be a good success story this week, and so obviously I've been really pushing to make sure I'm working out 4 days a week. Got that in. And today I had to run up to Fargo for a few things this morning and hadn't worn the pair of jeans for a long time, not noticing a huge difference on the scale, but I put them on and they were loose around my waist. They were loose everywhere else. I had to go to the store, buy a pair of black pants, went down a size. I was so keyed. I'm in the store going, yes, put these other ones back. I don't want them anymore. Because I brought both sizes into the dressing room, and I usually start off with a bigger one, then I feel better if I feel smaller, but this time I tried the smaller of the two on first, and I'm like, get these other ones out of here. Take them. So, I was all excited this morning. So, not a huge difference on the scale, but I could tell just, you know, more of the strength and the, you know, I've really been concentrating more on that and stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that
Wonderful.
Made my difference. And, yeah.
And we discussed about the scale doesn't tell the true story, right?
Yep. Right. And I remember that, and that was my first thought this morning. I thought, because, you know, I'm a couple pounds, not a huge difference on the scale. But so I thought, oh, this is awesome.
Yes.
I was keen.
You're losing body fat, and you don't even know it.
Yep. That's okay.
You like to know
keep
it.
Keep going, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, anything else you'd like to share, Stacey?
No, it just was a really good feeling to have this morning, and I haven't had that feeling for a very, very long time, and it just kind of boosted my whole, just kind of my day and my outlook on how it's going and stuff, because you do get kind of down when, you know, things don't make a difference on the scale and stuff like that. And for me, that was just kind of a pat on the back type of thing. And I guess it's the only obstacle, I guess, that I've been having is, you know, we tend to eat out, you know, one or two nights a week, or we go out for a couple drinks on a Friday night and that type of thing, and trying to balance that in kind of for, you know, what I'm doing and not overindulging, I guess.
Well, today's call probably will help you with that.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw it on the email, I'm like, okay, this is a good timing. So.
Today's call will help you with that. Good. How about you, Jen? What would you like to share?
Well, I've been pretty consistent with the exercising. I know I'm kind of waiting for our road to dry up so I can go outside and run along the road, but we bought an elliptical machine about a month ago, and that's been huge just having it there. It's like I don't have an excuse anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter if it's cold outside. I don't have an excuse. You know, there's something there that I can do, and that's helped a lot, just having it sitting there right next to my bed. So we see it, and my husband has been doing it as well, which is, it's like it's kind of just become part of our life again.
Okay.
Which is good, and it's helping that he's doing it as well, and so we just can hop on there for 20 minutes, and then I do some, like, push-ups and arm things, and it just, it's pretty easy to fit in that half hour. It's not tricky to do it, and the fact that it's right there, I can do it, you know, 9 o'clock at night. I did it last night, and it's just there to do, which is nice. So I've been doing that, but I really need to get into the intuitive eating again. It was very helpful a couple years ago when I kind of got into it a little bit, but I've gotten away from it. I've kind of got it out of my good habits. I need to get back into it again. But last weekend, my husband and I went away for a weekend, and I had a chance to just completely wind down and not have to be anywhere and not have to do anything, and that just rejuvenated me so much that this week I feel like my head is there again. It's like it cleared it enough that I'm able to think about me again and think clearly again. So
kind of gave you a taste of what it feels like to think of you and take time for you, and you're like, I want to keep that. So
yes.
Kind of helps you to focus on yourself.
Yes.
And I was just at a James Ray seminar last Wednesday night in the Minneapolis, and he was talking about, I don't know if you're familiar with James Ray or He's kind of a transformational coach. He's been on The Secret, if you're familiar with the DVD, that Secret movie and Law of Attraction and all of that. But he was talking about relationships. He has, like, he believes in five pillars, and relationships is one of them. And it was very interesting how he put how it goes first yourself, then it is others, and then it's world. And he goes, you cannot help your family, your community, your world, whatever, without working on yourself first. Because the more you can work on yourself and learn about you, that is more of what you are going to be aligned with your source and in your spirit within. So that'll give you the more energy and more ideas and everything and more empowerment to reach out to the others in the universe. And I thought that was kind of cool how he put that. So I love how you're saying, Jen, about, you know, wind down, feeling rejuvenated, feel like you're back and being focused with yourself. And that's where it all comes down to, is when you can work on yourself first, everything around you will come a little bit easier. So hopefully today's The Intuitive Eating Talk will sink in and give you some more inspiration.
Yep.
All right. Kim, what about you?
Well, I've had some setbacks and some successes. I was very proud of myself. I went and bought some 5-pound weights and a jump rope this week and started using them, and I started doing more things on the exercise ball. So I was like, and I could move the next day, so I was very happy. I knew I found out I had shoulder blades. But it was good. And it was really a struggle this morning to get to the Y, because that's where I work out. And it was just laborious. And everyone around was like, yeah, it's just so hard today. But we have like a gray morning, and the blooms are just starting to bud. And it's just like, ugh. But once I was finally done, I was like, oh, thank God. And I just felt so good, went on home. But, you know, it was just one of those things like, okay. But I found myself, and I don't know why I did this. I feel like I sabotaged myself. I bought one of my favorite candies, and they were on sale, which was the problem, and they were ridiculously cheap. And I couldn't just buy one and walk away. I had to buy, like, the whole box, and I tried to hide them in other parts of the house. But wouldn't you know, here I am climbing up the counter into the cubby above the refrigerator getting those stupid things out. So that was my setback. I enjoyed every bite of it. I'm going to enjoy this, but, you know, this has got to stop. And why am I doing this? But anyway, that was my setback.
Oh.
I like, just can't buy it. When they're 8 cents a piece, it's just, you know.
Oh, anyway. I couldn't give up that deal, huh? 8 cents.
Yeah, I'm like, Kim, come on. I don't do this. So,
oh, okay.
And I was thinking, you really don't need to do this. But I'm like, well, I was justifying it all along. So I'm like, okay.
Yep. Let's, well, hopefully today I might say something. If not, use one of those open gym sessions to,
okay.
We can talk about that, because there might be something going on there that we could pinpoint a little bit
okay.
for you. Anybody else on that just hopped on?
Yvonne's on.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi.
Would you like to share with successes or anything you'd like to share?
Sure, I'll share. I don't know if these are successes, but I feel much better. I spent 3 days on the couch, down with the whatever that's going around, and I did eat more to make myself feel better, but it didn't work. But despite that, I did get out for the first walk of the year outside, and I did play around on the ball, the exercise ball, which I thought was quite fun.
Okay.
However, after that first walk, now I have shin splints, and I'm like, I don't really know why I have those, because I had proper attire. Is it just that I'm just not used to that, or...
I didn't catch what you just said. What did you...
Shin splints after that first walk out. It was only a 40-minute walk, so it wasn't like I was, like, really overdoing it.
And what happened after the 40-minute walk?
Shin splints.
Shin splints.
Which do I just...
Sorry.
Yeah.
I was keeping thinking you were saying insulin, and I'm like...
Oh, no,
connection.
No.
Shin splints. Thank you. Shin splints stretch out your calves and your shins after, and the fitness ball is I love working, stretching the shins with the fitness ball. And all you do is take your fitness ball, your exercise ball, sit down flat on the ground, legs straight out, and take the ball on top of your thighs, and you're just going to walk the ball and roll it over to on top of your feet, your toes, that area just beyond the ankle, and then press down gently, and that's a nice stretch in the shin splints.
Okay.
And it could be a variety of things. Some people say it's a lot of weak core muscles that may cause shin splints. Some people, it's your shoes. If you have an old pair of shoes you're using, you could walk on the grass instead of the pavement if that's available, and then stretching them. And you, if it gets really bad, you can ice afterwards for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
But those
no grass here yet, Amy. We still have snow.
Yeah. Our snow melted yesterday, but it's kind of mucky here. Okay. Cool.
Okay, good ideas.
Anybody else? Fantastic. Okay, so thank you very much for sharing. And I love how you guys are looking for your successes and not just jumping right into roadblocks, setbacks, and obstacles and all of that. You really are, and you pay it, you know, and paying attention to how when you're looking for the successes, how that just changes your whole thought pattern, your feelings, and it, you know, that self-motivation to keep going when you look at what is going right for you. So fantastic. I'd like you to just keep on doing that for yourself. All right. Last week with the strength training program, it sounds like everyone kind of, you know, got into it a little bit more with their exercise ball and their five-pound weights and doing that. You can include a shoulder press this week if you would like. I think, I can't remember if I gave you a shoulder press exercise. It's just putting the weights and pressing them up over your head and then bringing them back down to where the elbow and the shoulder are straight level. Your elbows kind of making a 90-degree angle, and then you bring it up over your head and then back down. So you could work on that if you're not, to get some more shoulder exercises in now. And love how you're using the fitness ball. And if you are at, let's say, 8-10 reps, bump it up to 12-15. If you're at 15 reps, you can bump it up to 20 reps if it's more body weight exercises you're doing. If it's dumbbells or stuff like that, or tubing or anything like that, increase your weights and drop and go to 8-10 reps. So you always want, like I said last week, really work on fatiguing the muscle. And it's always those last few when you're starting to get tired and you kind of want to quit. It's like the next two or three ones after that that make the difference. So being continuing to be mindful on that. The treadmill climb I sent everyone, and that is help increase your intensity level. So you can play around with the rates perceived exertion and have a variety of opportunities for doing different cardio workouts. So it prevents any boredom, you can kind of have fun and yet challenge the body. And the treadmill climb is a moderate to hard workout, and it's interval workout using inclines. So I've given you a couple of varieties for keeping up with the exercise. And then the reasoning being that doing the interval training versus steady walking or any steady cardio exercise, elliptical, stair booster, Stairmaster, it will boost your calorie burning up to 24 hours afterwards if you do more of the interval training, kind of that quick intensity, then come back down to a steady state, quick intensity, come back down. Steady walking is great and do so, but if you have a chance to try out the interval, just to let you know, you kind of get like an afterburn. Your body continues to burn those calories thereafter. So my focus with you is to give you the most efficient workout options that challenges your body and burns the calories the longest. Increasing your metabolism and strength training is a must, so I'm happy to hear everyone's getting into that and trying things out and feeling their muscles and kind of getting reacquainted with your own body. Love how you said, if I have shoulder blades, you know, that is great, you know, to really get and feel the body. Every muscle you gain is approximately 50 more calories your body needs to burn to maintain that additional muscle. So keeping up with the muscle. And I had another client too, that shared that her body is totally firming up. Her clothes are feeling much better and very differently on her, and the scale hasn't been changing. And so one of the things I'm having her do is do a body composition so she can see how many actual body fat pounds she has and how much lean muscle she has, so she kind of has a baseline. So when the scale isn't showing anything, the body comp will. So if you're losing body fat and gaining muscle, again, the scale's not going to show it, and I don't want you to be discouraged, so really pay attention to how the clothes are fitting and how the muscles are firming up and how your body is toning, because the scale won't tell you that. You kind of have to see it for yourself, feel it, and notice. And the more you do the strength training, you will. So let's continue to talk about increasing your metabolism. I asked everyone to work on eating breakfast, and it sounded like this group was pretty easy with that. That wasn't really paid much, you know, it wasn't too difficult to do. So, and I also said check your fiber and protein content. So, and wanted you to kind of notice, you know, if you notice anything 2-3 hours later or anything different, because if you don't usually eat breakfast and you started, that's when you probably notice some things. If you normally eat breakfast, you probably didn't. Wanted to introduce the wood-burning stove story. Hopefully you guys had a chance to look at that. It's like when you eat breakfast, we are fueling our bodies with energy, fire, and therefore waking up the metabolism to start for the day. Your body is like a furnace. If you don't feed it in the morning, it will never heat up and start burning calories until you eat, like maybe lunchtime. By not eating until noon, you've missed burning off 200 to 300 calories. This is why you could be hungrier on days that you do eat breakfast, because you're burning more calories to burn off the calories you just consumed. It's a good thing, and it's really good to feel hunger. Yo-yo dieters that I've worked with, that's just why they don't never remember feeling hungry. The numbing out. So you want to make that body-mind connection. And by eating 4 to 5 times a day, you're continuing to fuel the metabolism to burn calories. Your body burns approximately 100 calories per hour. So if you eat a 350-calorie breakfast at 7 a.m., your body may be asking for fuel around 10:30 a.m., perfect time for a mid-morning snack, which is approximately 200, 250 calories. And since your body is burning 100 calories per hour, this will last you till noon, which is usually your lunch break. Here again, you feed the body 350 to 450 calories, and you continue this cycle for the rest of your day. Again, try and eat 4 to 5 times, keeping the metabolism working, and it takes calories to make the metabolism work and digest those 100 calories per hour. Okay? So does that make sense after reading the wood-burning stove and then kind of giving you an example?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I like to go over is the hunger scale. The hunger scale is slide 5 of your PowerPoint presentation, and I like to look at it as imagine your stomach as a fuel tank, and 0 is empty and 10 is full. And you know, where are you at? And that is coming into intuitive eating, is really making a connection, am I hungry? And noticing what those signals are other than waiting and depending on the outer environment to tell you if you are. You know, I got to eat this much, this kind of food at this time and this amount. And you're giving that control over to something else, a program, a diet. And what you need to do is focus on listening to your own body. So just to go over the hunger scale, the 0 is ravenous. And that is probably your 0 and your 1, ravenous, very hungry, is like you're coming back from work or you're getting out of the office and you are just starving. And nothing is going to stop you from walking upstairs into your kitchen and or going to your kitchen and grabbing the cupboard, going to the cupboard and grabbing the first thing you can see that you can open up real quick and eat right then and there. And usually the body, if it's that hungry, is asking for something to give it energy quickly. So what will give you energy and quickly? Usually the simple carbohydrates. Usually it's the chips, the popcorn, the candy bars, the pop, the juice. You know, very fast, simple sugar carbohydrates that the body can break down immediately and give ourselves the energy and the fuel it's begging for. Two is hungry. This is where you want to eat. You want to eat where you are listening and feeling those hunger pains. And those hunger pains may be different for everyone. It's very individualized. Again, you're not saying, well, I don't have my stomach growling. And everyone tells me I got to wait for my stomach to growl. Well, not everyone has a stomach growl attitude. So you have to learn your own personal signals of what a two is, what those signals are to let you know that you're ready to eat. Sometimes it's like getting a headache. Sometimes it's like just not being able to stay mentally focused. Sometimes it is the hunger pains. Sometimes it's just the registration in the brain that says, you know, I am kind of hungry. And just a quick example of that, yesterday driving back from Minneapolis, I was like, God, in my head, I was like, God, I'm kind of getting hungry. I wonder what that's all about. And I wasn't paying any attention, and I was driving through, and there was a McDonald's there. I'm like, why am I hungry? And I look down, it's 6 o'clock. I'm like, well, when's the last time I ate? You know? It's like, so kind of like, I was thinking it was maybe 3 in the afternoon. I kind of totally lost track of time. And here it was 6. I'm like, no wonder. So then I grabbed in. And you're like, Amy, you eat at McDonald's? You know, I eat at McDonald's. I do. But there's healthier choices. You got the walnut grape salad. You have, what did I got? I got the yogurt parfait with a water and a chicken wrap, grilled chicken wrap. There you go. You know, it doesn't necessarily always mean Big Mac and fries and a Coke. You know, that is not one of your better choices to have. If you really wanted it and haven't had one for a while and you just felt like having a Big Mac, you should be able to have a Big Mac. That's intuitive eating, is having what you like when you're hungry and not judging the food as good or bad. But it's kind of like that, too. What is your signals for you, too, to let you know you're hungry? You know, you're just kind of like in finding what that signals are for you. Three is the initial signal of hunger, where you're just kind of thinking about it. You might be mom thinking, oh, I should probably be making, you know, supper for the kids, or and you're just kind of like, I think I might be getting a little bit hungry. Between a three and a two is about an hour. So if you're at a three, you can probably bet on that you'll be at a two in an hour from there. Four is neither hungry nor full. And that five is also neutral. I would say four and five are neutral. Six is a point where you're eating to where you want to eat, to being satisfied, satiated. And just feeling like that was the perfect amount of food. You're not noticing anything other than it just feels good, it just feels right for you in your body. And that might be a new experience for you. You know, I have had clients that's taken 6 months to a year to figure out the difference between their eights and sixes. Because we are so in tuned to a feeling of you have to eat this much to feel right, that was enough. And typically for my yo-yo dieters, that's an eight full, where you feel the food in your stomach. You're not that uncomfortable. You just feel it in your stomach. Your waistband might be a tiny bit tight, not that, you know, not real tight, but you notice. You notice the waistband on your pants. You notice the food in your stomach. And many of my women have always said, well, I thought that's how much you're supposed to eat. No, that's usually a few bites too many. And if you eat to an eight, a seven or eight, twice a week, you're going to maintain your weight. So it's important to learn what that six is, that satiation point, where it's just enough. And you will have to play with that. You will at first not know what that is. And the test that is to have a meal, have a lunch, and see if that holds you 3 hours, 3.5 hours. If it only holds you 2 hours, you know you didn't have enough of that feeding. And next time you need to eat a little bit more. If that same feeding holds you for 5 hours, then you know you had way too much. You probably could have left a few bites on your plate. And so it's a testing process. It's a testing process to see what is right for you. What is your satiation point? Seven is again, you're no longer hungry. And sometimes I take a 7, I say, wait 20 minutes, because that is how long it takes the body to signal to the brain that it's full, that it's satiated. And so sometimes you can wait 20 minutes as well and see if you're still hungry. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I really want to eat more food on my plate. I'm like, but golly, I already had a lot. I'm like, okay, am I, you know, what's going on here? Am I something going on that I just want to sit and fill up for some reason, or is this enough? And so I will put the plate away, and I will wait a half hour, and I'll be totally distracted, not even think about it, and I won't even be hungry. I'm like, oh, that was enough for me. Or I have in the past waited, and about a half hour later, I'm like, I'm still kind of hungry. And then I know that, oh, yeah, you know, need to listen to the body. Needed to eat a little bit more, go, you know, grab a piece of toast or something right now. Grab a banana, eat an orange, whatever. So, you know, that is kind of the tricky part, but it makes such a difference in your life to just really focus on honoring your hunger, listening to your body, and becoming in tune with it. And it gives you such a sense of empowerment and positive feelings to know that you're doing this on your own. 9 is uncomfortably full. That's usually when you eat and you just want to kind of snap the buttons off your jeans, top of your jeans. You're that full. And 10 is the Thanksgiving dinner. You have eaten, you are stuffed, you're laying on the couch, you're moaning, and you've already unbuttoned the jeans and maybe even zipped them down. And, that miserable feeling. So 9 and 10, if you eat, like, to that point, 1 or 2 times a week, you're going to gain weight. So that is the hunger scale. So if you're hungry within 1 to 3 hours, you didn't eat enough of your last feeding, or you ate just carbs, a lot of simple carbs. And, again, you need to look at that and add some protein, because protein will break down. Slow down the breakage of the carbohydrate so it doesn't break through the body so fast and filter through the body so fast. If you're not hungry 5 to 7 hours, for 5 to 7 hours, you ate too much and not conscious of your hunger. Okay. Let's go, slide 1 just kind of breaks it down, kind of give you a little bit of an idea of protein. You want to eat lean protein, 20-25%, carbs, 50-60%, mostly complex, fat, 20-25%, and I would look at more of your polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats. Continue to drink your water, and then they kind of have it broken down that 25% protein is 400 calories. It's like 4.3 grams per calorie. Carbohydrates, 55%, fat 20%, and they have it 55% of carbohydrates is 880. Fat is 20%, that's 320. That gives you about 1,600 calories a day. Just an estimate. And I'm not a big person on counting calories by any means, but it just needing to just kind of look at your plate, which kind of brings us to slide number 4. And just kind of divide your plate up. I mean, guys, probably maybe you've been Weight Watchers, read diet books. This is just kind of common sense and at least gives you an eyeball on that. Your vegetables, you want the complex carbs, you know, if you got the salads, what does the salads do? They usually take about half the plate, you know, on your dinner plate. You might want a little bit of protein, so that's going to take another quarter. And then the other quarter is maybe your simple carbs, like a fruit or something like that, or complex starch, which might be a potato or brown rice or more things like that. Okay? Does that make sense, that breakdown? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's anything new to anybody, is it?
Nope.
Okay. So when you look at your plate, you can kind of look at it. And when I make meals for my family, I'm the same way. I'm like, okay, we have a salad, we got a protein, do we got a rice or a potato, and what do we got for fruit? Every meal, every night, except, you know, A couple nights where I'm just like, oh, it's a pizza night. But I do try to focus on really focusing on having those nutrient-dense foods for the children and for my family. And it's cut down so much on kids being sick and kids having more energy and just making a difference in past years to where I'm less focused, to where other years where I am more focused. Okay, so let's see. Let me look through my notes here. One thing I wanted to talk to you about is benefits of fiber. You can find fiber in many of the vegetables, primarily the green fibrous vegetables, your broccoli, your green beans, asparagus, lettuce, etc. And your fibrous carbs are your number one choice for fat-burning carbohydrates. Green vegetables, also known as the fiber carbs, hardly contain any calories. They have low calorie density. So, it's, you know, you can eat quite a bit of these green vegetables and really fill up on them and not feel like you're overeating them. You eat them liberally, and you can eat them more late in the day. And a diet of green vegetables combined with lean protein is one of the best methods of getting lean as quickly as possible. And other foods you can include is oatmeal. Also, I found a cereal called Meltrex that I like, hot cereal. Your fruits, flax, nuts, and other grains as well. But your fiber curbs your appetite. It keeps you satiated and lowers your low-density lipids, your LDLs, for cholesterol, your bad cholesterol. But the fourth reason is what I like is that the fiber absorbs less calories. It is pushing the food through your intestinal tract in a rate that your body doesn't have time to absorb all the calories. Actually, about 200 less calories per day. So as an example, let's say you eat approximately 1,800 calories, but you only absorb 1,600 calories over the course of the week. This will make a difference. The kicker in this requirement, though, is how many grams of fiber do you have to eat to reach those benefits, and that's 35 grams. And actually, I've done that, and it's not that bad if I focus on eating really fibrous-type morning breakfast cereals, because they do have quite a bit of fiber in those, and then focus on the big salads during the lunch and in your vegetables as maybe a little bit of a snack, and then for your dinners. And it's not that hard to get in once you start focusing on that and what kind of having your choices there. So I would, you know, that's one of the reasons why I asked you to pay attention to how much fiber you're consuming. And that would be one of the best benefits that I like for weight loss, is it just pushes that food through you at a quicker pace. The body doesn't have time to absorb. Okay, protein with your feeding also slows down your blood sugars. It also keeps you satiated for longer periods of time. And a typical American person looking to increase their energy will self-medicate with simple sugars, processed foods, quick foods to eat. And this causes that spike level. So let's just say, like, you know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon when we get into that lull and we're like, oh, I feel like taking a nap. I can hardly keep my eyes open. I got to stay focused. I got to finish this work up. And so what do? We go down to the pop machine or something, grab a Coke, maybe a Snicker bar or something to just pipe us up, pick us up. And that's that quick self-medicating sugar that will spike up the energy levels. But what happens when you spike it up that fast, it drops down just as fast. And so then you still get into that lull. So if you can focus on more fiber, protein-type meals with the complex carbs in that area, that will level out your sugar levels and keep you so you're not having those peaks and valleys. And so that you are, and as long as you're exercising as well, you won't notice really those lulls in the afternoon as being so significant, like you really want to take a nap and quit. Because really our rhythm and our bodies naturally have a lull in that 1 to 3 o'clock hour. That's with everybody. And another tip here is when we get that tired or that exhausted and we push through it, that will lead to more chronic fatigue and more frustration, overwhelm. It also hits the adrenal glands and, you know, gets them to work twice as hard than they need to. and all of that. So one of the best things you can do for yourself when you get into that lull is actually take a break. And, you know, and go for a light walk, or for me, when I get that way, I'll just go, I'll go, like in the summers, I'll go for a quick walk, but in the winter, what I did, I just went upstairs, opened my big window, looked out my window, and grabbed a hot chocolate or a tea or something like that for myself, or I just sat and listened to music for a little bit, for about 10 minutes, and just let myself wind down. And let myself have that little mental break. And then you go back to it. You go back to your work. But let yourself have that little break. And when you exercise and you're eating, noticing the fibers and the proteins more, hopefully you will notice that afternoon lull isn't as deep, isn't as tiring. It's just a little simple break is enough. Am I making sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go into slide 7 shows non-diet thinking, and it focuses on the goal, and the goal would be of a non-diet thinker. You have confidence in your ability to make the choices for your better health. Your progress is lifestyle, making gradual lifestyle changes. So it's, you know, what lifestyle changes is Stacy making to get 4 days in a week of exercise? What is Jennifer, you know, she made a lifestyle change by buying a treadmill and putting it in her bedroom and getting that, you know, what different things are you taking to make that work for you? Kim, what are you doing, what changes are you making in your life to take time for the jump rope, the exercise ball, the exercises and everything? You know, same thing with Yvonne, going outside for the first time this year and taking that walk in those baby steps to make some lifestyle changes versus let's just do this for 10 weeks and then I can go back to old ways. And hopefully you've learned so much over the last 5 weeks about yourself that you don't really want to ever go back to the old way. And you're like starting to make those baby steps and seeing the benefits of those baby steps. Self-acceptance. You start at the natural self-nurturing cycle. Again, last 5 weeks we've been working on self-nurturing. What are our values? Where are we in life with the different 8 categories, 8 more points in our life that are most important to us? What are we doing to nurture ourselves? What are our needs? How are we filling ourselves up? Success. You're energetic on a daily basis and increased self-esteem. It's not a goal weight. You're looking, that's why I keep every week, I'm like, what are your successes? What are your successes? To focus on what the little, you know, successes are. If it's feeling better, I feel much better. That's a success. I have more energy. That's a success. My body is firming up. That's a success. I'm more patient. I'm not as tired. Those are successes. Exercise, you're hooked on increasing activity, fun, and energy. Food is your friend. You savor, you enjoy it, celebrate it, love it. Language, I am really hungry. Do I really want this? Am I satisfied and done eating? Thinking, I can have it if I want it by balancing it with the rest of my meal. A great example I give with my kids, you guys, Mom made a dessert. You guys want dessert, make sure you save some room in your tummy for dessert. So what do my kids do? They totally go and they look at their food and they say, Mom, nope, I don't want quite that much, so I have room in my tummy for dessert. I said, okay, so give them small portions than they normally take. And then if they don't, you know, one of my daughters will say, Mom, I can't quite get this, otherwise I won't have room in my stomach for dessert. I go, well, you can have dessert later, or you can just go ahead and toss that in the garbage, you know. And sometimes she'll just say, no, I'll have dessert later, Mom. And she'll eat with the rest of the stuff on her meal. And other times she'll make a different choice. So it's balancing it with the rest of your meal, enjoying the food that you want, which is completely different than the diet thinking. You're like, what? Chocolate cake? I can have that? Yes, you can have it. But, you know, looking at that, you know, the going and having your favorite candy, Have your favorite candy when you're hungry and with your meal. Enjoy it. You know, savor the taste on that. Attitude, you're more flexible and can go with the flow. Choice, you are in charge. You decide what and when to eat. You honor yourself. It's not about the program. Oh, I can't have that. I've already eaten up all my points. Or, you know, this program says I can't have anything after 6 o'clock and you're hungry by 9 o'clock. Honor yourself. Hunger. You're in tune with your body's internal cues of physical hunger. You listen to your body and don't turn to food to deal with your stress or other issues. That right there, you listen to your body and don't turn to food to deal with stress or other issues, is a whole nother 12-week program probably. But if you start to pay attention to, you know, like Kim was saying, why did I do that to myself? Why did I go buy the whole box? Why didn't I just buy one? You know, and I would, if I was coaching Kim on one-on-one, I would say, okay, what's going on in your life? What are you celebrating? Is it for celebration? Is it something happening with the family, the business, relationships, emotional, whatever? When we interviewed a woman living your personal best a couple of years, it just kind of surprised me that she noticed when she got her bills in the mail early in the morning, late at night, she was like totally consuming food. She's like, what is going on? And she finally made the realization it was her bills that she was kind of upset about or had an issue with or whatever, and she was using food to soothe her through that. And it was a simple thing, but that took her a long time to figure out. That wasn't something that just came to her. But she realized some of those things that were affecting her to cause her to turn to food and not honor her body. All right, let's see. Let's go to, what is intuitive eating? Let's see. What is intuitive eating? Again, intuitive eating varies from person to person because our bodies, activities, conditions, and tastes are different. What we require in times of nourishment differs too. And I can let you guys really read that. But one of the greatest examples I have is watch the children eat. Watch your infants, your toddlers eat because they are totally in tune with what, you know, you give a little 8-month, 9-month-old baby, they'll try to get that baby to have the last couple bites of that jar because you just don't want to throw away that jar with still some food in it. Those lips are pursed. They are not going to budge. And you're coaxing and coaxing and playing and trying to get that child. No, they know what is enough, and that is enough. I'll never forget, my daughter's now 7 years old, but when she was 2, I had Oreo cookies. I said, here you go. She took one bite of the Oreo cookie, left it on the table, and walked away and went and played. That is all she needed. And I thought, who in the world leaves a half an Oreo cookie on the table? No one I know. But you pay attention to how the children eat. They know their satiation point. They know when they've had enough, and they totally walk away from the food. You may know people of good friends. Your spouse may be doing it. Your best friend may be doing it. Your children probably do it. And you're like, that's how my children eat. That is intuitive eating. They know. They just know intuitively what their satiation point is. And they know they can have some of their favorite foods that, as a diet thinker, you would think are bad foods. And they don't gain weight. You're like, what is the scoop with that? But they're learning to balance. They just know because they're very in tune with their body. Anybody relate to that?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing someone? So focus on reconnecting with that. And the great way to do that is start working the hunger scale. Intuitive eating is free obsession. Neither chronic or eating nor long-term under-eating. Deprivation is part of intuitive eating. It alleviates the emotional and physiological highs and lows created by cycles of binging and deprivation. Yo-yo dieting. You have that diet deprivation backlash. You do so well on your diet. Then all of a sudden you might have an overwhelming day. Overexhausted, real tired, or some little trigger, and you all of a sudden on a commercial, you see a Haagen-Dazs commercial or a Pizza Hut commercial, and like, oh, that sounds really good. I just want that. And you all of a sudden will go ahead and go and have it all. And then you'll go, oh, my gosh, I just went off my diet. What did I do? And you just go into that whole depression cycle because you just felt you flubbed up the diet. And so you quit the diet. You go back to old eating patterns. And then what happens? Summer's coming. I got a class reunion. I got a wedding. I got something. I got to lose this weight. And you go back on the diet. And that whole cycle comes over and over and over again. Prime example would be, a few weeks ago I had an issue come up and I had to go and talk to somebody that I was like on a topic I wasn't real comfortable with, and I was like, I need chocolate. It was 8:30 at night. I need chocolate. Got my coat on and my husband's like, Amy, where are you going? I'm going to the grocery store and getting myself some chocolate. And I'm thinking it's the baby. I'm like, oh, it's just hormones. I'm pregnant. I just got these cravings. And I'm like, and my husband, sweet Tim, he's like, no, Amy, let me search the house. I'll see if I can find some chocolate for you. And I was like, okay, this is exactly what I'm coaching on. And like, I'm like, but I justified it. I excused it. Oh, it's just pregnancy. It's just food cravings. Well, what did I do? I got on the phone. I talked to the person I needed to talk to. And I discussed on a tough topic that we needed to discuss. And you know what? I have not craved chocolate since. And I knew that. I knew in deep down that quiet little voice in the back of my head was saying, this is because you don't want to deal with this issue. And I haven't had that strong urge of chocolate in a very long time. But this is a prime example of how you may think those cravings are so biological, physiological, and I'm telling you 99% of the time it's emotional. It's emotional. Something's going on. All right. Let's see. What do we got? We got a couple more. Let's see. I'm just skim over the diet thinking versus non-diet thinking. You guys can look at that. You know, goal, typically, kind of reviewing, diet thinker will think weight loss, non-diet, confidence, ability to make choices. So there's a couple other examples of what a diet thinker would think of. And what, you know, hunger, you're out of touch with your physical hunger, you eat in response to psychological hunger, stress, feelings, and diet programs. And I would say, going back to lifestyle, because I know some of you maybe have tried the Jenny Craig, probably have done the Weight Watchers, LA Weight Loss, supplements, all of that. And granted, maybe they are great programs, but really, how long are you going to sit and buy Jenny Craig food? Are you going to do that for the rest of your life? Kind of have to start incorporating on how you're going to be making these healthier foods. Weight Watchers, great program. I love Weight Watchers, and they have to have some type of objective feedback. So what do? They weigh you, and they got a point system going. And the point system is great because I love how the choices they're giving you, the nutritional choices, they got great ideas to help you make better choices. But when it comes to the points, if you've eaten your points by 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, how many of you will not eat the rest of the day? And therefore, you are not honoring your hunger. You know, you letting something else empower you, take charge of your choices. When at 6 o'clock at night, you are hungry. You're like, I can't. I just ate all my points. God, I have to be careful next time. I got to make sure that I don't do that again. You're giving your power away. Really focus on more of the intuitive eating and honoring. And you can use the point system to help you find healthier choices and the more of the low-caloric foods and more of the protein, fiber, and all of those type of, you know, choices, but work with the intuitive eating, working with the hunger, and balancing that out, because there can be a happy medium on that. I believe there can be. I would let go of the rigid thinking of the point system or the rigid thinking of the Jenny Craig, these are the only meals I can have. okay?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, start like, oh, this is a really good meal. How can I start making this for myself? All right, so we just got a couple minutes left. What questions do you guys have?
I think you covered quite a bit of them.
A different way of thinking about this?
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. Not beating yourself up for, you know, having something that you're really craving or wanting. And
enjoy it.
I like that. I think it's good that we need to think about stepping back. Am I really hungry? And waiting that 20 minutes and seeing if, you know, was it just something you thought, oh, that looked great, or is this really what I want?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
I don't think I have any questions, so not at this point.
Great, but good comments. And one of the little techniques I have about your favorite foods, I use this a lot. A lot of my women can't, like, will refuse to put Oreo cookies in their house or chocolate candy bars or something like that because they say, nope, I'll eat it all. And one of the rules that I will give, and Kim, you may want to try this since you have those favorite candies there, is enjoy them for the 2 weeks. There's two rules. You have to be hungry when you have one, and you have to have protein with it. But enjoy, have them. Don't tell, no, I can't, or no, that's bad, or no, I'm doing so well. Have them. Because what's happening is those candies are having a lot of power over you, and it's having you that mental argument. Should I, shouldn't I? Bad, good. You know, the good, bad, and ugly. You know, all of that internal turmoil of having this candy around. And I really would love it for you to try that for 2 weeks and see if that candy is just all of a sudden the power is gone. And you can have that candy in the house. You can have it easy, accessible area, and you can walk away with it and not have it. I worked on this with a lady that hadn't had Oreo cookies in her house for years. Now, you know, a year later, she's my daycare provider. She goes, Amy, I still can have Oreo cookies, and I don't eat them all up. I only have one here and there. She's totally amazed. She's never been able to do that. But you really focus on not allowing those foods to have such an impact on your life, such a power over you, that it has such emotional turmoil. So enjoy it. Enjoy your candies.
Okay.
Two rules. You have to be hungry for them, and you have to have a protein with it.
So, Amy, what if I have peanut butter in it? Is that an outside protein besides that?
I would go with it. If you want peanut butter, tablespoon of peanut butter or something, anything to slow down. And the reason being you want it to slow down that simple sugar breakdown so that what happens if you just have the candy, your body breaks down that sugar real fast, and about an hour or 2 hours later you're going to want it again. And it's because you just created a hunger cycle within yourself. Break it down with you eat it with protein, it breaks down slower so that it satiates you a longer period of time. So maybe your next feeding. Does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. Next week, please fill out right now, if you have it with you, your activity diary of the exercises you're going to do, what days you're going to exercise, and the days that you're going to rest. You're increasing your reps if you haven't already, or if you're already at 15, 20 reps, increase your weights, and then drop your reps down to 10. Work on, if you're at 3 days a week of exercise, try a fourth day for 10 minutes. If you're at 2 days a week of exercise, try a third day for 10 minutes. If you're at 4 days a week, keep with that. Keep up on your meditation. Keep working towards that. And let me ask you about open gym hours. Are they just are they time frames that will work for you, or are they just not working?
Well, I find with the hour time change, it's often conflicting with the times my kids get home or we're just in the middle of bedtime stuff.
Is this Kim?
Yes.
What time zone are you in, Kim?
I'm in the Eastern, so it's not really a big deal, but I have, you know, it's just like the 3 to, when you have 2:30 to 4:30, it's 3:30 to 5:30.
See, I'm doing it according to my kids' schedule.
It's harder for me.
I understand. I'm just laughing because I'm like, well, I'm doing the mom thing on my timetable. Okay, so let's see. Next week's the 7th. Does open gym hours in the morning, Monday mornings, I have available.
Yeah, I can put that in.
Okay, so I will have Monday open gym available from 8:30 to 10.
Okay, is that Central?
That's Central.
Okay.
And then, let's see, Wednesday actually is a little bit easier for me, so I can do, 3 to 5, that puts you 4 to 6. How about an evening 6 to 7:30, if anybody can make that? I'll put an evening one in for anyone that wants it. So, because we're getting into this, you know, things are going to start coming up, and I want you to use those open gym hours to and help yourself with that, because I want to make sure you're getting a little, you know, you may need just a little bit of one-on-one attention. That's what those open gym hours are for. All right. I will talk to you guys all next week and for our week 7, and hope you guys all have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks.
Yep, you're welcome. Bye-bye.